Nobody Tells Tim Anything, written by Agentian Legend and read by Chaos Kill. Death Wish for Danny. A slouching teen emerged from the hordes of patrons. He sported a haphazardly placed beanie, a baggy hoodie, dark hair, and even darker sunglasses. With an energyless smile, he took the offered to-go cap from the barista.
Sounds like a band name,
another patron remarked. He had similarly black hair, but a more formal appearance overall.
What,
like Dead Cats for Cutie? Danny croaked.
Don't you mean Death Cab for Cutie?
Danny swallowed a piping hot sip. What did I say? The now confused man's jaw slackened. He began studying Danny a little more closely.
Death Wish and a bagel with schmear for Tim, the barista called out.
The other patron, Tim, reluctantly accepted his breakfast. Both customers exchanged cordial smiles and parted ways for different corners of Gotham Guzzler Cafe, and both sat with a semi-unobstructed sightline of the other. Tim whipped out his phone and began typing something as he took a substantial bite of his bagel. He sent several surreptitious glances Danny's way before pocketing the phone and purposefully people-watching out the window. Danny, meanwhile, had similarly taken out his phone to seem occupied. He self-consciously pushed his sunglasses higher on the bridge of his nose and took a large, slow gulp of his triple-strength drink. Danny nearly choked when his phone unexpectedly vibrated in his hand.
So, why do we have to tail all the Wayne boys for the week?
Phantom had asked.
An inexplicable meeting has been scheduled for Thursday afternoon between Epinio Rossi, a LexCorp lawyer with notorious ties to several Gotham crime families, and Wayne Enterprises chairman Bruce Wayne. Batman explained. The display of the Mount Justice briefing room changed to portraits of the two men. Intel suggests leverage will be sought for an attempted hostile takeover of WE by LexCorp. Due to Luthor's network of superpowered metas, that could overwhelm a typical security detail. You four have been selected as their temporary bodyguards.
Babysitters, Connor quietly corrected. Phantom transformed his snort into a cough.
And let me guess, he said. The leverage might be his son's?
Batman responded with an affirmative grunt. Phantom spun his chair to observe the other attendees of the meeting. Miss Martian sat upright while attentively taking notes. The younger Superboy wore a concerned frown as he wrung his hands together and bounced his leg. The elder relied entirely on the support of his elbow on the armrest to keep himself upright. Nightwing, Red Robin, and Robin occupied themselves with sorting paperwork into files.
Do we draw names? Connor asked dryly.
Or maybe we get to choose,
Phantom casually suggested, gaze briefly darting back to Robin.
You have been assigned using various criteria, Batman said.
He summoned Red Robin, who began distributing files to the selected bodyguards.
Miss Martian. Your target is Richard Grayson, a police detective in Bloodhaven. Superboy the Elder, I'm assigning you to shadow Jason Todd, a businessman, in Park Row. Superboy the Younger, you'll follow Damian Wayne, a student in Gotham Academy. And Phantom, I'm trusting you with Timothy Drake, CEO of WE subsidiary Wayne Tech. Any questions?
Phantom momentarily eyed the folder that the younger Superboy held in his hand.
Yeah, why ask for? Don't you have a whole flock of bat buddies who are already based in Gotham?
He asked with an indicative nod in Robin's direction. His tone, though dry, had a playful lilt buried under the surface.
They will be otherwise occupied on an unrelated confidential assignment.
So, why not just get the Justice League?
Personal protection is significantly below our pay grade. These dossiers contain typical schedules, known upcoming engagements, general habits, and other related information. Batman said, study them, memorize them, destroy them. Additionally, each target will be instructed to stay alert and report any suspicious activity or persons via encrypted chat. One final piece of advice. I cannot overstate the importance of discretion while shadowing your targets. None of you must be seen or recognized. This is a covert operation.
You'd be surprised just how covert a ghost can be,
Phantom cockily assured with a salute. Maybe start by being subtle, Mr. Can't Stop Bantering, the younger Superboy teased.
Hey, it's a matter of pride in the ectoplasmic community,
Phantom facetiously refuted.
The hauntees have to know who's haunting. Otherwise, all our hard work scaring the pants off you would be attributed to a mindless poltergeist.
Be advised, suspicious activity has been reported in T. Drake's vicinity. Danny dismissively rolled his eyes. He made a point of yawning, then folded his arms on the table, tiredly burying his face in them. Danny carefully positioned his head so he could still watch Tim out of the corner of his eye, however. With a final peek in Danny's direction, the Wayne Tech CEO stood from his table, disposed of the bagel wrapper, and exited with his death wish in hand. Danny stretched before sliding out of his seat and unzipping, flipping, and re-zipping his reversible hoodie. He stashed the beanie into this side's exposed pocket and quickly fluffed his hair to rest more naturally. Chugging the rest of his own remaining coffee, Danny threw the cup away and made his way outside. Despite the rare cheeriness of the weather in Gotham that day, something aggravated Danny's gut into feeling like something was amiss. Pace slowing and mind drifting back to the alert he'd assumed had been about himself, Danny searched his surroundings for oddities. Perhaps he'd grown too accustomed to dancing shadows in his life as a ghost. Hey, that's not approved, Danny heard Tim snap. The man had noticed a makeshift display in the window of a tech shop. It featured a Wayne Tech marketing campaign with absurd prizes and an off-color slogan. While Tim presumably dialed his assistant, one detail from the briefing document stood out to Danny. The CEO was a caffeine-fueled perfectionist who was far too involved in all business operations. He would therefore be intimately familiar with the approved marketing campaigns. For him to come across such a blatantly erroneous display, less than a block from Rain Tech headquarters, on his habitual path from Gotham Guzzlers to the office, Danny glanced around. The shadows were suddenly moving much faster. With a gasp, Danny turned to find the nearest alley for a hidden transformation. He raised his right hand to activate the communicator hidden in his ear. A loud crash caused Danny to flinch, though the shock kept his arm from falling. The shop window in front of Tim had exploded, sending him stumbling backwards as a squadron of militaristic security guards poured out of the opening. They descended upon and restrained the CEO in a near instant, then fought to confiscate his remaining death wish, while Tim valiantly stretched his lips to get as close to the spout as possible. The guards successfully wrestled it free and tossed the drink aside.
It's the other one! Get him!
Someone grabbed Danny's raised wrist and forced it behind his back, but Danny spun violently to his left. The force yanked his wrist free and he used the rotational momentum to pirouette away into a defensive stance. A few passing civilians let out startled cries in pearl-clutching tones. Three more men in unmarked security gear advanced with tasers and cuffs at the ready.
What do you guys want with me?
Danny demanded, with a well-placed elbow to one's face and two knee-collapsing kicks to the other's legs. Danny sprinted to help Tim.
Transform, you idiot!
Danny scolded himself, but there was too much attention now for him to escape unseen.
Ugh!
he grunted out loud when taser probes embedded themselves in his back. The stronger-than-regulation current dropped him, his hoodie's zipper catching on a crack in the concrete. Danny's sunglasses then dislodged in the scuffle and settled a few feet away. The thugs' voices felt distant and muffled. Danny fought to overcome the nearly PTSD-inducing voltage, but he was swiftly collected, bound, and tossed into the van beside Tim.
Damien, why the hell are you oomph!
Tim's interrogation died out into a grunt as a goon's fist acquainted itself with his stomach.
Who the hell's Damien?
Danny asked in a slurry daze. Tim was once more confused into speechlessness. As the van pulled away and whipped through traffic, both captives were thrown around the storage area, unable to steady themselves due to both of them being restrained behind their backs. The disheveling ride gradually brought Danny back to coherence, each bump functioning as a grounding slap to the face. Their equilibrium soon shifted when the van descended a ramp. On level ground, they idled forward before jolting to a stop. The side door slid open to reveal a dark and empty underground parking garage, and the unwitting pair were roughly hauled towards four wooden chairs at the center, illuminated only by a handful of construction work lights. Tim clumsily kept astride, but Danny's sneakers skidded along the concrete since he hadn't recovered his bearings enough to walk. Each hostage was thrust into a chair with enough force to make it almost tip over. Finally, their cuffs were removed in favor of zip ties attaching them directly to the chairs.
Wait here, a well-dressed and vaguely familiar man barked.
He produced a Lex-Tech mobile phone from his inner suit pocket, and the squadron of well-equipped goons encircled the captives with a large enough radius to leave some breathing room. The man receded into the shadows of the garage, only his face showing detail thanks to the phone screen's brightness. The man's face finally registered in Danny's mind and elicited a small gasp and muttered, "Rossi." Only Tim was close enough to hear, but he made no indication of having noticed nor cared. Instead, he merely scowled.
"Are you okay?"
Danny asked. Tim released a deep groan.
"Yeah, I'm fine," he said.
Then his blood visibly boiled.
"I'm just so fucking tired of getting fucking kidnapped," he snapped,
violently pulling against his restraints for emphasis. The chair wobbled slightly from the force but quickly settled.
"What are you even doing here? Extra protection? I'm already covered."
As if you care anyway," Tim scoffed. "I have so many better things I could be doing with my day right now. But no, because you decided to play the hero, I'm stuck in a hostage situation with you."
"Sorry?"
Danny said, chastened.
"It's not your fault."
Danny cringed.
"Since when do you take responsibility? Did everyone's favorite demon spawn finally grow a heart?" Tim snarked.
Danny's indignation reached a boiling point.
"Hey, what did I ever do to you?" "Drop the act, Damien. I don't know who you think you're fooling."
"I am not fucking Damien," Danny drawled. "I'm also not fucking Damien either." Tim appraised him a bit more closely and noticed the inside liner of Danny's reversed hoodie.
"Wait, you're the Dead Cats guy."
"Death Cab, actually," Danny sassed.
"So, Danny,
good memory.
Why are you following me?"
Danny hesitated a moment before rolling his eyes.
"Wow, narcissist much? We happen to walk in the same direction from the cafe and you think it's because you're the center of everyone's universe?
Do you even know who I am?"
Jim? Tim?
Tim deadpanned how uncertain Danny wasn't.
"No, you know who I am."
Timothy Drake, CEO of Wayne Tech and current hostage, Danny conceded. There, you happy?
You could have just admitted that.
Sorry, I was just trying to give you some anonymity. You must get recognized a lot.
Well, yeah, but at least it means having friends in high places, Tim assured.
I've got a JL connection who can literally walk through walls, disappear and fly. He should be swooping in to save us any minute now. He finished with measurable annoyance. Yeah, Danny anxiously agreed and broke eye contact. Tire squeals announced the arrival of a second van. It roared into the garage and skidded to a dramatic stop, adjacent to the first van. Its sliding door flew open and unleashed the protests of its reluctant passenger. Unhand me, wannabe villains. This is utterly ridiculous. While Tim simply groaned and rolled his eyes, a tempest of mixed emotions surged through Danny's gut. He leaned expectantly to get a better view of the newcomer.
Hey, Superboy, you want to trade?
Phantom asked the youngest protégé present.
No, I like my assignment, he replied. Besides, Batman's sad. Criteria.
Well, maybe Batman doesn't have all the facts.
Enlighten me.
Phantom spasmed at the hero's sudden appearance behind him.
I mean, he's closer to my age, so...
Weren't you in ancient Rome?
Nightwing teased. Phantom deadpanned. Batman put an immediate stop to the bickering.
I've assigned you to Timothy Drake because he is the most visible and you are the most invisible.
He noticed something disappointed in Phantom's understanding nod.
Don't worry, the hero added with as much softness as his persona would allow. Superboy is more than capable of protecting the younger brother.
The ghost peered up at him. Damian Wayne managed to get a single kick into a goon's groin before his ankles were grabbed and bound together. He was dragged along the floor and uncaringly deposited into one of the remaining vacant chairs. Danny ducked his head to shroud his face with hair.
Welcome to the party, Tim drawled.
Why are there two of them? The team leader asked Damien's victim. The man merely shrugged and leaned heavily against the nearest column. The query directed Damien's attention to Tim's co-captain.
Oh, look, we have guests, the haughty teen quipped. I thought only immediate family was important enough to be a target.
They thought he was you, the elder brother explained. I can't imagine why. He's way too nice.
Danny swallowed a lump in his throat and managed to raise his head. He jutted his chin upwards in a nonchalant greeting. Sup? Damien lazily eyed him up and down.
Well, at least this whole fiasco has made us privy to another clone's existence, Damien said with a sigh.
What? I'm not a clone, Danny denied. He's a civilian. Apparently, Tim added.
Is he?
Damien clicked his tongue.
I guess we'll see.
Damien, meet Danny, Tim introduced.
The sour-spirited teen instantly snapped to attention. He sharply looked from his adoptive brother to the other hostage, registering every detail possible. Danny anxiously bit his lip.
The resemblance is uncanny for sure, Tim ploughed on. But he's not completely identical once you take a closer look. I mean, look at the eyes.
Have you tried poking them? Damien asked absently. They could be contacts.
Wow, rude, Danny haltingly interjected. You can't just go poking people's eyes.
Damien shifted in his seat, ignoring Danny's protest in favour of asking Tim.
Where's your assigned protector, Drake?
Tim sighed.
No sign. Yours?
No brain.
That managed to help Danny fully collect himself. He leaned towards Tim and murmured, "No wonder you treated me like shit if this is what you normally deal with." "I can't tolerate incompetence well." Damien paused, giving Danny a final once-over before his expression relaxed into something more annoyed, yet also relieved. "Surely you remember that, Danielle," he finished in his mother tongue. Danny scoffed. "All too well, and believe it or not, I don't miss it." Tim did a double take at Danny's sudden change of language.
"What's happening?"
Before anyone could explain, the building rumbled. A distant crashing noise grew closer and closer until the emergency door behind Damien flew off its hinges. A younger teen wearing a bright red and blue uniform stood panting from exertion. Actually, he stood fuming. The newcomer's glowing red eyes immediately locked onto Danny. In his fury, he remained ignorant of every goon training their weapons on him simultaneously. Danny wilted and glanced at Tim for reassurance.
"You!"
Superboy growled. "What if we lose them?" the younger Superboy asked with a wary glance at Robin. Batman didn't hesitate.
"You don't."
"Don't move," the security team's leader ordered. He pressed a button on his radio.
"We've got company. It's Superboy."
"This should be amusing," Damien observed. "He's Kryptonian, you cretins. Lower your weapons." Superboy stormed forward. The nearest thug in his path panicked and opened fire.
"Hey, watch it!"
Tim shouted and attempted to curl into a ball as well as he could manage, given the circumstances. Without averting his gaze, Superboy wordlessly grabbed the discharging weapon and snapped its barrel off with one hand. He flipped the metal around in his grasp such that the sharp end wasn't protruding and struck the shooter's kidney, collapsing him to the floor in pain. Superboy punched another goon in his solar plexus, the subsequent crunch causing Danny to cringe, and the guy went flying backwards into several teammates. The young Kryptonian finally came to a stop in front of Danny as the goon scrambled to re-strategize. "You do know that when you have an assigned superhero escort," Superboy growled at Danny, prodding him in the chest with the barrel, "you're supposed to be escorted, as in not look for ways to sneak away so you're vulnerable?" Danny almost entertained the idea of revealing himself, if only to escape the boy's surprisingly fearsome wrath.
"You've got the wrong demon spawn," Tim interrupted.
He nodded at the actual Damien.
"That's your guy over there."
"Wait." Superboy looked over his shoulder. Eyes half-lidded, Damien merely raised an eyebrow. "So who?" Superboy returned his attention to Danny. His studious gaze darted over every facial feature. It finally landed on Danny's right ear, where his communicator rested. Following a surprised gasp, his eyes briefly glowed as he studied more of Danny's form. "Oh!" he croaked with a wince as his eyes settled on where Danny's ghost core would be. His eyes returned to normal, only to blow wide a second later. Minuscule threads of ectoplasm momentarily bled along the tendrils of Danny's irises. They retreated, but the tightness of his lips and the millimetric shake of his head spoke volumes. With a quick look in Tim's direction, Superboy backed down and instead perched a foot on the chair between Danny's legs. He casually draped an arm across the raised knee, leaned in, and facetiously said, "Well, in that case, don't worry, civilian. I'm here to help." Several guns cocked in unison, all now more intelligently pointed at the Wayne family members.
"Step away from the hostage if you value these rich bastards' lives," the same thug warned.
"Okay," Superboy cheerily agreed. He pushed off the chair with too much force, sending Danny tumbling into the darkness. The chair broke apart as he went, releasing Danny from his restraints. Echoed a pained grunt from the boy's direction. Sorry, stood up too fast, Superboy theatrically bellowed. No reply. The parking garage fell into silence. Only a slow drip of leaking pipe ricocheted off the walls. Something shifted in the atmosphere. It felt colder, emptier, more isolating. Danny? Tim hesitantly called. A flash of light. Everyone turned around. It had come from the other end of the space. Half of the thugs redirected their weapons. Phew. A frigid cold spot passed through several people. Chills danced up their spines as feeling of unease ached away at their souls, air thickening with anticipation. With his eyes softly glowing, Superboy smacked.
What?
Tim yelped in the periphery of their view. He and his chair soundlessly levitated out of the lit area. A soft warmth emanated from the void, followed by the empty chair sliding perfectly upright back into the light. A quarter of the thugs shakily adjusted their aim onto the vacant seat and looked expectantly beyond the ring of illumination. An ethereal cackle echoed all around them. Something about it was wrong. Its simultaneous screech and rumble made everyone's skin crawl. Just as unexpectedly as it had begun, though, the terrifying laugh cut out all at once, echo included. The shadows suddenly fell a lot closer. No one dared breathe, lest they catch the attention of whatever beast stalked them from the darkness. The flashlight's beam shook in the thug's unsteady hands as they hesitantly shined them out of the illuminated oasis in the cavernous garage. Without warning, the goon next to the team leader lost his balance and dropped his gun. After catching himself in a stumble, he straightened and looked sidelong at his superior with glowing green eyes. It was one of the cleanest backfists Superboy had ever seen. The team leader crumpled instantly. The other goons immediately turned on our rogue colleague, shouts overlapping each other in the unleashed chaos. He fought just long enough to give Superboy a chance to free Damien and then disable a few goons himself. As the man's teammates converged, the Deviant Thug glanced around before stumbling once more and pressing a hand to his temple. Only to find himself inexplicably at odds with virtually his entire team.
Hey, what are you guys?
Before the infighting could devolve further, Superboy exhaled a super breath and sent the group of them careening into columns and walls where they fell to the ground. After another mysterious flash of light, the young Kryptonian lightly jogged over to where he'd sent Danny. Hey, kid, are you all right? After a moment, Danny came tumbling out from behind a thick concrete pillar.
Dude, you didn't have to kick that hard, he said with a cough.
At least you were out of the way for all that weirdness.
Yeah, I think this parking garage's haunted.
Superboy huffed a laugh. I don't know. From my experience, it wasn't talkative enough to be a ghost. I'd say it was probably a poltergeist. Danny rolled his eyes. As Tim found an abandoned roll of twine, Superboy used his communicator to update Batman and summon the police. The group then made quick work of restraining their former captors. Danielle! Finishing a knot, Danny released a deep breath before standing to face Damien. Hello, brother.
Holy shit!
Oot! Superboy exclaimed far across the garage. He appeared chastened when both boys simultaneously shot a glare at him. With a mouthed apology, Superboy mimed plugging his ears and struck up a conversation with Tim. Damien crossed his arms, though he held them loosely. I'm glad to see you're still alive. Not that I would have known, he accused in Arabic.
I wanted to get in touch,
but I was afraid Mother would be watching you.
A wise decision. It was quite some time before I knew peace with Father, though you would have been a nice distraction to afford me some privacy for once.
Eyes glistening, Danny tackled him into a tight hug. I knew you missed me. Danny sobbed in English.
How could you have possibly gotten that from what I said? Damien wheezed.
Machiavellianisms are your love language. Damien sighed and finally allowed himself to reciprocate the hug.
You always were the emotional one.
I was 4. I am so cashing in on this.
Damien whipped his head to face the new speaker. Grinning, Tim had his phone pointed straight at the brothers. The twin roughly shoved Danny off of himself and self-consciously fixed his clothes. A cacophony of deafening police sirens assaulted them, amplified by the harsh concrete walls. Sparks flew as several patrol cars bottomed out at the end of the ramp and jostled onto level ground. They encircled the boys and positioned themselves around the garage, headlights aimed at various bound goons. 2 saloon cars and a fleet of private security vehicles followed immediately after. The first passenger to exit was Bruce Wayne. He shoved past any police officers in his way and swept Tim and Damien into a hug.
Oh, my boys, I'm so glad you're all right, Bruce cooed.
The next passenger to emerge from his far more ostentatious car was Lex Luthor.
What's the meaning of this? He snapped.
Lex, Bruce greeted. He released the boys and consciously put himself in front of Damien.
A private security team kidnapped my sons the day I was supposed to meet with your nefarious lawyer.
I know just as much as you do,
Luthor said. He flinched upon noticing the intensity of Superboy's glare.
Which team is this?
Lambda, sir,
one of the goons provided as they were escorted past.
Lambda, Lambda. Where's Anas?
I am Mr. Luthor,
the team leader slurred as a medic attended to his broken nose.
Whose orders were you acting on?
The authoritative man loudly demanded.
Mr. Wuzzy's.
And you thought felony kidnapping was an appropriate assignment for a corporate security detail?
Just following orders, sir.
I'll deal with you when you're coherent, Luthor spat. He motioned to the police for them to take Arnaz away.
Mercy, contact the LexCorp Foundation and have them organize a donation to a local violent crimes victims association and prepare a statement for the press.
Right away, the cybernetic woman said and pulled out her phone.
Bruce,
Lex said to the very bemused man.
Please allow me to offer my sincerest apologies to your family for my employees who broke rank.
Bruce hummed. Thanks, Lex. At least no one was seriously hurt.
My security knows better than to use excessive force no matter what the circumstance.
Lex then noticed the teen trying to blend into the shadows.
It seems this time they went for extra credit, though, the man observed. Who are you?
All eyes fell on Danny. The teen hesitated.
Hi?
He swallowed thickly and searched for the right words.
Bruce stepped forward and threw an arm around Danny's shoulders. He turned to face Lex and the others.
I would appreciate your discretion while we continue to strategize the public rollout of my long-lost son, Danny.
Tim's face contorted into a disbelieving, then accusatory squint. Lex Luthor glanced between Danny and Damien.
A secret twin, he drawled. How quaint. My best wishes for your expanding family.
Danny avoided most questioning beyond his account of what had transpired that morning. He was unsuccessful in his effort to dodge Superboy, however.
So, why did your chest almost blind me on infrared?
The Kryptonian asked.
Danny sighed.
Ghost core, source of my powers and energy in general. It's not supposed to be visible to anyone when I'm in human form.
I don't have super in my name for nothing, Phantom.
Shh! Danny hushed. Just Danny.
Hold on.
So no one knows? For real? I thought it was just above my JL security clearance.
Basically only Batman knows. For now. I'll probably have to tell Damien.
Gee, you think? Superboy sassed. No wonder you wanted to trade assignments with me.
Danny, you should have told him ages ago.
It's not that simple, Danny said. Damien and I mean, come on, it's the League of Assassins, not exactly the Boy Scouts, but I have a family, a normal family, and it was easier to just, you know, compartmentalize and enjoy hanging out with him even if he didn't know who I was.
Dude, Superboy shook his head. So how long until you tell them they've known you for years?
Well, they're supposed to be the protégés of the world's greatest detective. A smirk pulled at the corner of Danny's mouth. Let's see how well they detect.
Of course you already knew, Tim accused in a hush. He, Bruce and Damien regarded Danny and Superboy from across the now-lit garage. It would have been nice if you'd shared that Damien's twin wasn't, in fact, dead. Especially before he distracted me in an already complicated situation.
We couldn't reasonably expect Danny to appear in Gotham on precisely the wrong day, Bruce replied with a sidelong glance at the teen in question.
I don't feel obligated to share intimate details of my personal life with you anyway, Damien defended offhandedly. You're not the center of the universe.
Tim growled at the parroted insult.
You're such a little shit sometimes, I...
Tim, Bruce calmly interrupted. The infuriated CEO tore himself away and approached the other two boys, taking some calming breaths as he went.
Hey, he began while resting a hand on Danny's shoulder.
If you wanted to reconnect with Damien, you could have just told us, stalking me at my favorite coffee shop like that. Your timing sucks, by the way, he added with a vague gesture at the surroundings.
I was never the one with the good luck, at least when it came to Damien and me, Danny half answered.
Sorry to freak you out earlier, I just wasn't in Gotham for very long and wanted to find a way to get close.
Don't worry about it. To be honest, I'm glad to find out there's another Damien.
Danny raised an eyebrow. Look, I knew him as a kid and seeing how little he's changed, just... why?
Now there's a chance the actual biological Wayne bloodline will continue, especially with you being the more attractive twin. I didn't really see that happening as things stood.
I'll... and your bloodline, Drake.
Shit!
Tim cursed and jolted away from the teen who'd materialized at his side. Phantom did his best to ignore Tim Drake's glare from across the makeshift debriefing room in Wayne Tower.
Superboy, your performance was adequate, Batman continued. Though collateral damage remains a concern, I see the next generation of Kryptonians still hasn't onboarded that directive.
The youngest protégé present cringed.
How many of Gotham's buildings are pockmarked from grappling gun anchors, I wonder?
Phantom softly quipped to Connor. The pair's snickering immediately grabbed Batman's attention.
Phantom, he growled.
The ghost gulped and sat a little straighter.
Yes, sir?
The vigilante's cowl tilted minutely towards Tim. Your absence was noted at the most critical point in your assignment. Where were you?
No one saw me on my combat mission?
Phantom asked. Batman didn't respond.
When you specifically asked me not to be seen nor recognized?
Phantom clarified. Batman sighed. Affirmative.
Then thank you, sir.
Phantom replied with a beaming smile. The end.